The following is a sermon by Pastor Ralph Abernathy of Mount Olive Lutheran Church, located in Newton, North Carolina.
In the name of Jesus, Amen. Today is the beginning of a new year. Not a new year according to the calendar, which begins on January 1st, but a new church year. Something new. Congratulations, you have made it to the beginning of a new church year. And you get to do something very special during this year. You get to reflect upon Christ your Savior. You get to reflect upon and rejoice in how He is coming at the end of the age for you. If you are dead, buried, He will call your body out of the grave, and it will be made perfectly, completely, entirely, wholly new. And you, in that new body, will live forever, and you will sing praises to your great Savior and King. You also get to reflect in this new church year how Christ came in the flesh. God conceived in the womb of a virgin. God, the creator of all things, encompassed in a virgin's womb. God becoming a gamete and then developing into an embryo and then a fetus, a baby in the womb, and then born just as you were born. Yet born, conceived and born without sin, to make right, to make holy your sinful conception and birth. You get to reflect upon how this Son of God was revealed as the Savior of the world, not just the Jewish people, but the Gentiles too, during the Epiphany season when the Magi came from afar, these non-Jews, and presented their gifts to Him and fell down and worshiped Him. You get to reflect upon how the very deity of Jesus Christ was spoken of at His baptism. "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," the Father said, as the Holy Spirit descended from the open heavens upon Jesus in the form of a dove. You get to follow Him through the Epiphany season, reflecting upon the mighty miracles He did. You get to be there as you hear God's word on Transfiguration Sunday, the Sunday before Lent begins on Ash Wednesday, and hear once again the Father's voice to the disciples as Jesus was transfigured before them and appeared with Moses and Elijah on the mountain. You get to hear God's voice driving home the point to you. "This is my Son whom I love. Listen to Him." And then during the Lenten season, you will reflect upon how this glorious Son of God, whose deity shone forth from His human nature at the Transfiguration, came to be a servant of all, came to give His life on the cross as a ransom for many, for you to pay for and to take away your sins by His holy and precious blood and His suffering and death. You get to follow the agony of Jesus there during Holy Week in the Garden of Gethsemane and reflect upon His sufferings there on Good Friday. You get to celebrate His resurrection at Easter. You get to go through the Pentecost season and rejoice in how He sent His Holy Spirit upon His church, because without the Holy Spirit, you could not believe in Christ at all. You could not have faith in Him. And then you get to follow Jesus through His ministry and learn from Him how you, as one who are baptized into Christ Jesus, now live out the life of faith in Him and love toward neighbor. And finally, at the end of this church year, you will reflect upon how He is coming again for you to set you free, to bring you out of death, and to usher you into the glories of heaven, the wonder of heaven, a new life, a new body, and a new heaven and a new earth. And then the cycle begins again. A year from today, at the beginning of the new church year. In the gospel reading for this new church year, we heard the familiar Palm Sunday reading, how our Lord Jesus Christ was coming into Jerusalem for the Passover, how He told His disciples to go fetch a donkey upon which no one has sat, and to bring it to Him, and He would ride that into Jerusalem. Behold, your King comes to you, holy and righteous and humble, and mounted on the colt of a donkey, on the foal of a donkey. Those are the words of the prophet Zechariah about this occasion. And that is what we celebrate today, how our King comes to us, righteous and having salvation. You see, when Jesus came into Jerusalem, it was not as a mighty conqueror. Yes, He came as King. He came into the city where He would be crucified. He came to the people who were His own, because He was born a Jew, but He came in humility in order to die. Think of that. The Son of God, the one whom the angels proclaim and worship and bow down before in heaven, the one whom all the saints delight in praising, the one who made heaven and earth, the one through whom you were created. He came to be a slave. He came to die for you. And what did the disciples do as He was entering Jerusalem? As He, who is the true temple of God, approached that earthly temple that stood on Mount Zion, they took off their cloaks and laid those cloaks in the road before Jesus, just like you would roll out a red carpet for someone. They waved palm branches, just as we do on Palm Sunday. They cried out, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." They were going wild, praising Jesus. Now, they didn't fully understand why Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, but that's okay. He would teach them. He would teach them before His death, after His resurrection, and He would continue to teach them through the Holy Spirit whom He would send, who would guide the disciples into all truth. But their King was coming into the city, and that was an occasion to rejoice in. So again, they were going wild. Listen to what they said. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." This was not merely David's descendant, David's rightful heir to the throne. This was God. This was the King of all creation. This was the King of the universe. This was the King of the church. And blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. Because when He comes, look what happens. There is peace in heaven and glory in the highest. In the Agnus Dei, before communion, we sing, O Christ, thou Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Grant us thy peace. Because this King, by his death on the cross, has made peace with God for you. Peace between you, someone who is hostile to God by nature, by the sinful nature inherited to Adam, someone whose mind was at enmity with God. He brought peace with you, for you, by the blood of his cross. The angels sing his glory now in the highest heaven. The saints in heaven sing his glory in the highest heaven, the glory of the one who came to humble himself and die, the glory of the one who entered this world to reach down into the depths for you and to lift you up out of the depths of sin and death and hell and condemnation and make you a child of God through your baptism, through his gracious gifts to you, through everything he has accomplished for you and continues to accomplish through his gospel. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord to you this morning in his true body and his true blood for the forgiveness of all of your sins, to bring you peace from heaven, and to whom you sing glory and honor and blessing and praise. At any party, there always seems to be a spoil sport. Someone who just doesn't get into the spirit of things. Someone who sits in the back away from everyone with their arms folded and a sour look on their face and a scowl, and they just don't want to participate at all. And so we had this with the Pharisees in today's gospel reading. They didn't like the commotion. They didn't like what was being said of Jesus, because if he was indeed king, then their temple was defunct. Their temple was out of business. Teacher, rebuke your disciples, they spat out. Tell them to hush up. We don't want to hear that. We certainly don't want to make a commotion that the Romans will say, what's going on here? We need to come in and investigate. There may be an uprising. We don't want that to happen, teacher. But most of all, you're a teacher who consorts with sinners, with prostitutes and tax collectors. Why should you be acclaimed king? Well, Jesus answered them, I tell you, that means he's speaking seriously, if these who sing these hosannas and these blessings were silent, the very stones would cry out. And this is where it really hits for us as a congregation of the Holy Christian Church. How can we be silent about Jesus? How can our voices be hushed and muted? How could we be speechless considering the glories of this great King and how he has humbled himself, even to the point of death on a cross for us and for our salvation? You see, when we gather together as the people of God in this place, we come to receive the gifts of God in word and sacrament. We come to welcome and rejoice in the King who comes to us through these means of grace, righteous where we are unrighteous, and having salvation where we would surely be condemned if he had not come and if he did not come to us. If you were drowning and someone saved you, you would overflow with thanksgiving to that person. If you were trapped inside a burning house and you'd passed out from the billowing smoke that entered your lungs, and a fireman came in and carried you out and then revived you on your front lawn, you would be overflowing with thanksgiving to that fireman. And so it is with the Holy Christian Church, the people of God redeemed in Christ Jesus. We overflow with thanksgiving to our gracious King. We overflow with thanksgiving to God who sent Him as our Savior, the Father, who looked upon us with love and compassion and kindness and gave His Son for us. We overflow with thanksgiving to God the Holy Spirit who is present in the Word to be with us, to bring us to faith and to keep us in that faith. And we cannot be silent. Otherwise, we might hear a lot of speaking stones. Otherwise, God might raise up children for Himself from unbelievers and the vilest kind of sinners and people you would think would not be eager at all to enter into God's kingdom and would be the most unlikely candidates to become children of God in Christ Jesus. But as the church, we cannot be silent. As the church, we must acclaim our great King who came to suffer and die. And that is exactly what we are doing today in the liturgy. In the hymns we sing, sing them with gusto because you are singing with thanksgiving. You are glorifying the King who comes to you righteous and having salvation. Participate in the liturgy with joy because you are learning the language of heaven through this liturgy. And you are being prepared to welcome the King who is coming for you at the end of the age. Not to judge you, not to smite you, not to smash you down and send you to hell, but to call you out of the grave, to glorify you as He Himself has been glorified, to plant you firmly in that new heaven and that new earth that He will bring to pass when He comes. You know, you're going to be glorifying and thanking Him and singing His praises then as you enjoy all He has done for you and all He has made possible for you and the beautiful home He has prepared for you. So you may as well get used to it now, huh? You're in school. The liturgy, God's Word, is your teacher. You're learning a language that doesn't come naturally to you. Yeah, maybe you can say parlez-vous français, but if God's Spirit had not come to the church, if God's Word had not been given to the church, we would be deaf mutes, unable to speak at all the language of heaven. But thanks be to God, now we can. Now we can give thanksgiving. Now we can tell others of Jesus and all He has done for us. Now we can be the people of God set apart as His chosen people to receive His gifts and to sing His praises and not to be silent, but to sing out with joy so that those outside may hear. And so they may enter in and join us and be part of that great heavenly host without number that is singing Hosanna and blessing and glory and honor to the Lamb. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Lord. Amen.